Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach in these few moments. Open God's Word. We'll see what He has for us tonight. 2002, there was a young Palestinian man. He was part of Hamas military wing. That young man sacrificed his life and killed five Israeli students in a horrific suicide attack. Probably not one you've heard of, not one I've really heard of either, except for the circumstances surrounding it. Unfortunately, this is something that happens quite often. Back before this man, Muhammad, sacrificed his life for the cause of Allah and Islam, his mother, on a video, stood next to her son and said this, "By Allah, today is the best day of my life. I feel that our Lord is pleased with me because I am offering something, my son, for him. I wish to sacrifice more sons for Allah's forgiveness and for the flag of Islam to fly over Palestine. It is true that there's nothing more precious than children, but for the sake of Allah, what is precious becomes cheap." Well, this young man went ahead and killed with his own life, sacrificed his own life and killed five Israeli students in cold blood. After her son's death, this mother said this, "I gave my son to jihad for Allah. It is our religious obligation. If I had wanted to have compassion for him or to make him change his mind, it would be wrong, a mistake. I don't want to be guided by my feelings, a mother's feelings. I put them aside for a while for something greater, although a mother's feelings are involved. Why? Because I love my son. I wanted to choose the best for him. And the best is not life in this world. For us, there is an afterlife, the eternal bliss. So if I love my son, I'll choose eternal bliss for him. As much as my living children honor me, it will not be like the honor the martyr showed me. He will be the intercessor on the day of resurrection. What more can I ask for? Allah willing, the Lord will promise us paradise. That's the best I can hope for. The greatest honor my son showed me was his martyrdom." Now, if you're a mother in here, it's pretty unexplainable to think about sacrificing your son willingly to do something like that. But Christian, tonight, let me tell you tonight, radical Islamists, radical Muslims are more than willing to give their lives and their children's lives for the cause of what they believe in. They're willing to sacrifice anything for the cause of Allah, for the cause of Islam. And we recoil at that. We think, what in the world? That's just incredible. That's just staggering. It's horrifying. It's sick. Let me ask you a question tonight, Christian. What are you willing to give up? What are you living for tonight? What is your cause tonight? What is something in your life that is so much a focus in your life that you would be willing to give it all? You know, tonight, there's a man in Scripture who gave his all. He didn't die, but he was willing to. This man had a cause. This man had a focus. This man was willing to die for, to live for, to fight for what God had given to him. He had the cause of his God as a focus of his life. This man was anointed for a cause, and he lived like it. 1 Samuel 17 tonight, please. 1 Samuel 17, a quick challenge from God's Word, but I pray that it'll be a challenge that we will not forget from a man, an example in Scripture that lived it out for us. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I will not for time's sake go through all the passages of Scripture, but I will read a few verses here. We know what happened. The Philistines out. The battle is out happening. The Philistines facing the Israelis, Israelites. Goliath, the 10-foot giant, comes marching down, presents himself to the Israelite army. He is a massive man, a fearsome man. He's a tank, basically, against an army of toothpicks. I mean, there's nothing they're going to do against this guy. And he says, "You come fight me. The man who fights me, if he wins, we'll serve you. If I win, you serve us." And every time that guy came out, he came out 40 days, twice a day, for 80 times this man marched out and mocked and went after God and mocked the armies of Israel And 80 times those men ran in fear from the enemy of God. Those trained warriors, that warrior King Saul, ran in fear from that giant. And they kept running. And they would put the battle in array. They would set the battle lines against the Philistines and ready to fight. And here would come Goliath, and they'd run in fear. And it's on this scene that a man named David, a young man, shows up. What? To give food to his brothers. He wasn't a trained warrior. He was a shepherd boy, as we'll see. And he shows up on the battlefield to give this food to his brothers. And he comes to the battle right when the battle is set in array. I can imagine the clanking of swords and the shields and the shouted commands from the commanders to these men. I can imagine as they're getting a little bit nervous, the whispers from soldier to soldier. And here comes this carriage behind David's coming towards the battlefield. And as he's coming, here comes Goliath, marching, tramping down that hillside with his armor bearer, laughing loudly, coarsely. And what happens? The Israelite army catches sight of that giant, maybe the 81st time, I don't know. And what happens? A murmur goes throughout the ranks, and all of a sudden those men run in fear. And the guys turn around and trip over each other, and their armor's falling, their swords are falling, their shields are falling off as they turn around and run for their tents. And this is the scene David happens upon. David shows up as these men run in verse 24. They ran, and verse number 25, they're talking to David, they're telling him what's going on. In verse number 26, I can imagine David is walking up towards the edge of the hillside. And he says to the men that stood by in verse 26, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab, this is the big brother that here, oldest, anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Excuse me. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Eliab's a little ticked off at his little brother here showing him up. Eliab was part of the crew running away from the battle. And verse number 29, David stands here at the edge of this hillside, looking at this giant, looking at this uncircumcised giant. By the way, you notice that he didn't say, "Oh no," and ran. He looked at the giant and said, "Excuse me, guys, why is he still alive? What's he doing there? Why is this uncircumcised Philistine allowed to mock my God?" Got his elder brother a little bit mad. I can imagine the crowd growing around here, knowing what's going on. And David looks back at his brother, looks at the crowd around him, looks at his fellow people, his Israelite people, and says, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David, a shepherd boy, shows up on a battlefield and looks at these cowards, looks at that giant and says, "Whoa, stop, hold everything. Is they're not a cause?" Let's push the pause button for a second. How in the world did a shepherd boy get to this point? We're not going to take the time tonight to look at it, but chapter 16 goes through it very well. David was anointed by Samuel. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel, a pretty incredible thing since there was an heir to the throne named Jonathan. But God had decided to take the throne from Saul, and he gave the throne to David, and David was the next king of Israel. He was anointed to that. But David went back to the hillside, the backside of a hill. He was still a shepherd boy after his anointing. He was still back there watching sheep. And as you see in verse number 18, the servant of Saul, when they're looking for a harp player, just a few verses later, the servant of Saul says, "Hey, I know a guy who could do this." And he starts naming off characteristics about David. He was cunning in playing. He was a mighty, valiant man, a man of war. Be humorous, unless we knew chapter 17. He was a prudent in manners. He was a good man. He was a comely person. He was a sharp guy. And the Lord was with him. God, he walked with God. David was a man known across the country as a man who walked with God. And David was just a simple shepherd boy doing what was right when nobody looked. He was, yes, anointed for a cause. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But that cause was not a future thing. That cause was something he was living out each and every day of his life, even watching dumb, dirty sheep by himself on the backside of a hill. Well, we fast forward to chapter 17. We fast forward to verse number 29, and here's David. And he looks at these guys and says, is there not a cause? You know, David had a cause. David had a cause in his life. And you might say, well, that's nice. You're talking about a cause. What is a cause? Define it for me tonight. Well, a cause is this. I've said it before tonight, but a cause is something you would be willing to die for. Why is it that the Muslims sacrifice their lives, their children's lives, for something that's just unbelievable? We know it's not true. They believe it to be true. Christian, tonight, let me ask you a question. What's the cause of your life? Something that you're living for that's so focused on your life that you would be willing to put your life out there for? You say, well, Brother, I'm here on Wednesday night. Brother, I am here on a Wednesday night. I've got to be a good Baptist to be here on Wednesday night church right in the middle of summertime. I could be out in a boat somewhere. I could be out, you know, I mean, in Florida. I don't even know all the things you could do. You could be out on the beach. You could be out here. You could do that. I'm here in a church. I'm here. No, Christian, what are you focused on? What's your cause? David had a cause, but he had the right cause. He had the cause of his God. You know, our cause, we look around at our country and it's going downhill. It's morally decaying. It's crashing down. We look at that and we have a desire to help out. And we say, how can we help out? Well, our cause to help out should not be political reform. You know, the Lord's given us a connection up there, up in Wisconsin with Governor Scott Walker. We've had a great connection with him and good friends with him up there. And I will say he's a great man, loves the Lord. He's a believer, loves the Lord. Let me tell you this, though. If Governor Scott Walker become the President of the United States, that'd be a great thing. That'd be a neat thing. Let me tell you this. Governor Scott Walker would not change this country. The political reforms, getting new Supreme Court justices or getting new people in Congress, those things won't change our country. They might change the laws of our country, but they're not going to change our country. I'm telling you what's going to change our country is Christians being like David, getting on fire with a cause worth living for, worth dying for. David was that kind of man. He was a young man. He wasn't a trained warrior. You don't have to be a trained person in a suit and a tie and go into Bible college and have a degree. You can be sitting there as a layman in the pews and be like David, standing up, going forward for God. What's your cause tonight? Well, our cause should be, number one, to glorify God. Our cause should be standing up for God in this world. We need Christians who will stand up for God in this world. We need Christians who will follow God's will for the life. You know, tonight, maybe you're not doing what God wants you to do. I'm not saying what your job is or those things. Maybe God has called you and to do some certain things. He's told you, I want you to do this. And you've said no. Maybe tonight you're not living out like David because you're not obeying God in your life. What is your cause? You know, David had a cause. David's cause was not hindered. I'm not going to go into tonight, but we see the men of the armies of Israel were hindered in their cause. They were fearful. How good is a sissy soldier? Any soldiers in here or former soldiers? All right, it doesn't happen real well when your sissy's on the front line, right? Bullets are flying, and you run. What do real soldiers do? What do American soldiers do? What are they known for? They're going forward into the battle, whatever happens, whatever's flying by them, whatever the danger. You know, these guys were seriously hindered in their cause. David was not, because he knew he had a God who could do it. David's cause is not hindered. You know, tonight maybe your cause is hindered because there's some sin in your life. You know, let me tell you something tonight. Doesn't matter who we are, 5 years old, 15 years old, 55 years old. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If there's something in your life hindering God's cause for your life, God can't use you. You'll be like that soldier running away from the battle. So whatever it might be, your pastor, I guarantee you, preaches on sin in this pulpit, and God's knocking on your door. I don't even have to say what it is, but there's things in your life that God might be dealing with you about. Bitterness, relationships, lying, I don't know, media choices, things you allow into your life through the TV, the computer, through your phone. I don't know what it might be, but God knows. And let's not let our cause be hindered tonight. Let's not let ourselves run away from the battle in fear. Let's go forward into the battle. David had a cause. His cause wasn't hindered. His cause was empowered. By the way, let me just say this real quickly, and we'll be almost done here. David and Goliath is not a good name for the story. You know, it's not really what it was. It's God and Goliath. Because when we think of it, we think of this little, tiny little guy named David and this huge giant named Goliath. And wow, massive, incredibly universal, omnipotent, all-powerful, awesome creator God versus this little puny Goliath. That's why David had the power. That's why David went forward into that battle. That's why David saw victory. David had a cause. His cause was not hindered. His cause was empowered. He took a step of obedience, and his cause produced victory. Let me just read three verses, and we'll be finished. Look at this here. David walks down there. Here's Goliath, laughing his head off. What in the world is going on? We've kind of fast-forwarded through the story, verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know, the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." You're going down, buddy. Get ready. Write the eulogy, Goliath. You're done. Why? Because the Lord will give you into our hands. And that next verse, I think, sums it all up. And David ran toward the army. David didn't hide behind the tall grass. David didn't go behind the rock. That would probably be a little bit more strategically wise, army speaking, you know? No. He ran straight for the giant because he knew his cause was not about David. His cause was about his God. Christian, tonight, look at David. You see what his cause produced. It produced a massive victory. He had a bunch of sissy soldiers running from the battle. And all of a sudden, that giant's head comes off, and those men rout the Philistines. Month and a half of sissies. 1 minute later, those guys are incredible soldiers. Why? One man believed the cause. And he produced victory, and those other guys got on the bandwagon. Christian, you might be facing some serious, serious Goliaths in your life. You're going to face some Goliaths. For our country, we're going to face some serious Goliaths. We already are. Let's not cower. It's not about us in the first place. If it's about us, we should just pack up and go home and be done with it all. It's about our God. We look at these Muslim guys. Look at these guys giving their life. We should give our life as a living sacrifice to our God. Let him use us like David. Is there not a cause? You're anointed for a cause tonight, Christian. Let's live like it. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your challenge and your word. Lord, go with us now. Help us to live for the cause that you have given to us. In Jesus' name.